The word of the Lord stands forever. It is a word given to you, the good news. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While the crowds pressed around him, Jesus began to speak to them in these words. This is an evil age. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah was a sign for the Ninevites, it will be the sign of the Son of Man for the present age. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment along with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them. She came from the farthest corner of the world to listen to the wisdom of Solomon, but you have a greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the citizens of Nineveh will rise along with the present generation, and they will condemn it. For at the preaching of Jonah, they reformed, but you have a greater than Jonah here. This is the gospel of the Lord. On the 12th of October, 1992, 500 years to the day that the Catholic faith was brought to the pagan and new world, I think we say something, first in gratitude for the faith that was brought to our shores, then repentance. Couldn't have been a more appropriate gospel. The new world, and with thunderous emphasis, the new world must repent. And I mean repent. If only we had a Jonah to tell modern America, in the name of God, repent. And then zeal on our part to do everything in us we can to bring our beloved nation back to the faith in God and faith in Jesus Christ that was brought to the new world 500 years ago today. Talk about irony. Talk about ingratitude. One form of media after another, books, magazines, radio, television, blasting in the most cruel language that Columbus dared to invade the New World and deprive the Native Americans of, well, their native religion. Or it was native religion, all right. The Aztecs, in a single day, would sacrifice upwards of 10,000 human beings to their gods. With a nation that has reverted to the new paganism. This weekend I'm giving a lecture in Santa Clara on the new paganism. I'm to speak for 1 hour. I could speak for 1 week. Gratitude that we thank God. I mean it. And I thank Him for you faithfully coming to Mass every morning. One bishop, diocese unnamed, is urging there be only one Mass on Sunday all week. Gratitude for the faith we have received. Then repentance. In our own lives, here for just a very short time, and the closer you get to eternity, the narrower and thinner and shorter becomes time in this world. There's only one reason we are here, and that is to prepare ourselves for a heavenly eternity. Lord, have mercy on America. Lord, have mercy on America. But then zeal. The faith that we possess came to us from others who back generations ago in our own nation received it from those who came here. Everything that Columbus wrote, and he wrote a great deal. Everything, in spite of all the calumny, and by now millions of words in the media. Columbus came here in order to bring Jesus Christ to a pagan people. Our duty is, we have the true faith. We are obliged to share what we've got. Oh, how embarrassed, how ashamed, how blasphemously cowardly can be some of our nominally Catholic leaders in not professing their Catholic faith. Zeal to bring the faith that we so wonderfully have received from our ancestors back 500 years ago today, to spend our lives re-evangelizing our nation, reforming our country, re-Christianizing our once, as one of our Supreme Court decisions declared, we are a Christian nation. Please God, we shall once more be what by now so many have labored, suffered, and how it thrills me to say it. One of my reasons for becoming a Jesuit was that there were Jesuits who shed their blood to plant the faith here in our nation. I may ask you to read, I'm recalling the quincentennial election prayer. Over 1 million copies of this are now in circulation by zealous Americans. Together, please, let's pray it. Lord Jesus Christ, you give us the King Caesar what belongs to Caesar, to God what belongs to God. Enlighten the minds of your people during this quincentennial year of the discovery of America. May we choose a President of the United States and other government officials according to your divine will. Give our citizens the courage to choose leaders of our nation who respect the sanctity of unborn human life, the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of marital relations, the sanctity of the family, and the sanctity of the agent. Grant us the wisdom to give you what belongs to you, our God. If we do this as a nation, we are confident you will give us a wonderful blessing through our elected leaders. Amen. Hallelujah. My sheep listen to my voice, says the Lord. I know them, and they follow me. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. As Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee invited him to dine at his house. He entered and reclined at table. Seeing this, the Pharisee was surprised that he had not first performed the ablutions prescribed before eating. The Lord said to him, "You Pharisees, you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but within you are filled with rapaciousness. Fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside too? But if you give what you have as alms, all will be wiped out clean for you." This is the gospel of the Lord. Today, on the 75th anniversary of Our Lady's last apparition at Fatima, I think we should say something about the meaning of Fatima in the modern world. And I repeat, the meaning of Fatima in the modern world. Only God knows, only He. But all the evidence we have indicates we are living in the most sin-laden world in human history. Never, never in the history of man have there been more murders committed beginning with the unborn. Family life in countries like ours is a shambles, and the very word family has become a mockery. The sodomy that in the Old Testament destroyed a whole people is now, listen, a multi-billion-dollar network forcing, or trying to force, in our country, the rest of the nation, to conformity. In Detroit, 42 churches have been closed. In Chicago, 63. And they're just samples of the massive, massive devastation of faith and morality in our country. And they go from day to day as though, well, like a change of weather. And there is a God, and a just God. And I repeat, have been for years, the days of America are numbered. I mean every syllable. That is the message of Fatima. Whatever else Our Lady told the three children at Fatima, it now has been approved formally by one pope after another, and with emphasis, our own present, John Paul II. It is repentance for sin. But before you even talk about repentance, people had better know they have sinned. Who is a sinner anymore? Who? Who goes to confession anymore? Who? Repentance. Reparation. Having sinned, we owe for our own sins and the sins of others, reparation, making up for, by doing penance that, did we not recognize our sinfulness, we would not have to do the reparation that God expects of us. And finally, reformation. When the gentle, kind Pope John the 23rd summoned what became the Second Vatican Council. Who says that anymore? What pulpit? Who? The purpose of this council, said the Holy Father, was the reform of the Catholic Church. Reformation from top down. Reformation of bishops. Dear God, how well I know. Reformation of priests in my own beloved Society of Jesus. Reformation of religious. The buildings are there. The hulks are there. The brick and mortar are there. The body is there. But the soul is gone. One religious house, one seminary, one novitiate after another is gone. On today's 75th anniversary of Our Lady's telling not just those three little children, but through them, telling the whole wide world, and especially those who have estranged themselves from God, please God, we who by His mercy, as we trust, are trying to do His will, that we spend the rest of our lives as lives of reparation for our own sins and in reparation for the sins of our loved ones. Mary, Mother of God, there's only one message that you left at Fatima, and that was a message of realizing that we have sinned, that God is indeed a loving God, but He is also a just God, that we might repent. Oh, dear Jesus, that the very words may sink into our thick brains. Repent. Make reparation. And I don't hesitate asking, dear Mary, help us to spend the rest of our lives in expiation for those sins that your blessed mother, dear Jesus, told us, unless we repent, we shall all perish. Mary, Our Lady of Fatima, let's say the prayer together. O Jesus, to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we ask for the mercy from your divine Son. Mary, we ask for mercy from your divine Son for us, and especially on our own beloved country. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. It is a blessing for you when they insult you for bearing the name of Christ, because it means that you have the Spirit of God resting on you. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain. And when he had sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. I cannot tell you what pleasure, deep, deep pleasure, it gives me to be offering this Mass in honor of St. John Ogilvie. He gives me confidence that the Society of Jesus, the worst hit religious order in the history of the Church, the worst hit religious order in the history of the Church, we've lost over 15,000 men. And this year, for the first time in the history of our province, we have no vocations, not one novice entered this year. We're celebrating the feast of a Jesuit priest and martyr, following the lecherous Henry VIII, discarding his wife, Catherine of Aragon, and then, because the Pope would not give in, and the bishops, to a man except one, the bishops, all cowards, submitted to that lecture. And the Jesuits, thank God, remain firm to the Holy Father. It can't be. It just cannot be. And the blood shed in 16th century England and Scotland, and the blood shed in communist Spain earlier in this century, and the blood shed in our own United States with our North American martyrs, it cannot be that their blood will have been shed in vain. But the key, what gibberish, what pious nonsense this is to Semini still, allegedly Catholic ears, to speak of loyalty to the Vicar of Christ. I know, one book I'll never write, my own life story. I cannot tell you how for 30 years I've been sustained on the last beatitude. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and are all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. Praise God. The merits of a saint like John Ogilvie will obtain for the Society of Jesus in our day that once more, please God, once more, we will be the great defenders of the papal primacy, because Without the vicar of Christ, there is not only no Catholic Church, there is no Christianity. Lord Jesus, we thank you for today's saint. Lived a short life, but died a martyr's death in defense of the vicar of Christ on earth. That in today's world, when in one country after another, the last voice still listened to, even in so many nominally Catholic circles, is the voice of your vicar. We beg you, by the blood of today's martyr, to grant us the grace of humility and obedience and confidence that the future of the Church and within the Church of the Society of Jesus is secure, because there has been so much blood shed in defense of your truth. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Happy are they who have kept the word with a generous heart and yield the harvest through perseverance. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The Lord said, "Woe to you, you who build the tombs of the prophets, but it was your fathers who murdered them. You show that you stand behind the deeds of your fathers. They do the murders, you erect the tombs. That is why the wisdom of God has said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of these you will persecute and kill,' so that this generation will have to account for the blood of all the prophets shed since the foundation of the world. Their guilt stretches from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who met his death between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will have to account for it. Woe to you, lawyers! You have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves have not gained access, yet you have stopped those who wish to enter." After he had left the gathering, the scribes and Pharisees began to manifest fierce hostility to him and to make him speak on a multitude of questions, setting traps to catch him in his speech. This is the gospel of the Lord. Today, in the feast of Saint Teresa of Avila, the reformer and now a doctor of the Church, we might reflect on what was St. Teresa's role in the 16th century. She was a reformer. A reformer of religious life. In the 16th century, the worst breakdown of Catholic solidarity for by then 1500 years. And the main reason was the breakdown of religious life. That's the law of Catholic history. As religious communities go, so goes the Church. 15th century, 16th century, and the 20th century. And we're going to bring the Catholic Church back to where God wants it. 23 years of working for the congregation of religious. We must, and the verb is we must, reform religious life. What was Teresa's formula? Concentrate on those elements in the Catholic Church then and in the Catholic Church now that most desperately need reformation. And they correspond to the three principal vows of religious life: poverty. My own Jesuit, St. Robert Bellarmine, says the main reason for the breakdown of the faith in the 16th century was the lust for money. 16th century. This is the 20th. Same thing. Detach people from the love of the things of this world, and then, but only then, will you have them raise their hearts to those heavenly treasures for which we were made. Chastity. Where do we begin? Where, bishops? May God in His mercy forgive those bishops openly, openly defending, among other sexual crimes, sodomy. As St. Peter Canisius wrote to Ignatius in the 16th century from Cologne, I don't know of a single priest in the Archdiocese of Cologne, beginning with the Archbishop, who is not living with at least one concubine. Chastity, beginning with bishops, priests, and religious. And obedience. Obedience. And obedience to that authority which Christ established on earth as the only authority that is and has a right to be the arbiter and the judge in moral matters. Oh, how particular, how scrupulous people can be in obeying the civil laws. I never thought I'd read with my two eyes in our elevator across the street, $500 fine or 90 days in prison for smoking in the elevator. There's only one word for it. That's madness. You can murder unborn children. Nothing happens. You smoke a cigarette in public and you go to jail. Obedience to the Vicar of Christ. Obedience to the Church's teaching. I never, lest I am, distracted, speak of the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century. It was a Protestant Revolution and the Catholic Reformation by such outstanding leaders as St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, and my own beloved St. Ignatius of Loyola. St. Teresa of Avila, obtain for our century what with God's grace you did in the 16th century, a reformation, dear Teresa, a reformation of religious life, so that we, who are to be leaders of the people of God, might both give the inspiration and obtain the grace for the people of God to once more serve the God who created them with their whole hearts, because it is only in following both your example and your teaching as a doctor of the universal church that we shall, what Pope John 23rd declared, what the Catholic Church most needs in the 20th century is a massive moral reformation. Saint Teresa of Avila, Reformer, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Still giving gospel.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord stands firm forever. It is the word given to you, the good news. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. A crowd of thousands had gathered to become so dense that they were treading on one another. Jesus began to speak first to his disciples. Be on guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, nothing hidden that will not be made known. Everything you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight. What you have whispered in locked rooms will be proclaimed from the rooftops. I say to you, who are my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and can do no more. I will show you whom you ought to fear. Fear him who has the power to cast into hell after he has killed. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for a few pennies? Yet not one of them is neglected by God. In very truth, even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear nothing, then. You are worth more than a flock of sparrows. This is the gospel of the Lord. Today, on the anniversary of our Holy Father's election, I think we might say a few words, both in commemoration and in gratitude, for his remarkable pontificate. He is the first pope in 500 years, not of Italian origin. He's also the first pope in 500 years who was almost assassinated, and not just once, but three times, except once he was mortally wounded, almost died. I would say his outstanding achievements are, first, he crushed the power of communism, except for Pope John Paul II. I would not be going to Moscow in January. The Eastern Europe is opened as never before, not just to Christianity, but to Catholic Christianity. And that without shedding any blood. Surely a historic achievement. Pope John Paul II will go down in history as one of the great Eucharistic popes of the Church's history. Time and again, he insists the liturgical renewal, as it has been called. Who doubts it has been in countries like ours criminally abused until so many churches could just as well be Jewish synagogues. Yet Holy Father keeps insisting with the bishops, in the name of God, do not allow the faith of your people in Christ's real presence to die. Every day now, 4 years, there is exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. Never before in the history of the papacy, every day in St. Peter's Basilica. Our present Holy Father, where should he go down as one of the great Marian priests of the papacy? If I read a lecture or a speech or a document of Pope John Paul II, and I don't see somewhere, either in the middle or even if it's a short lecture at the end, an earnest plea to our Blessed Mother, I think either the document is incomplete or it's spurious. Our Lady is uppermost in all of his teaching. Just as that's what he keeps telling the people, just as without Mary we would not have Jesus Christ, so without her we cannot preserve the Catholic Church. Pope John Paul II has given us such an awareness of the mission that we Catholics have in the world today to restore all things to Christ. And his emphasis, again, as never before in history, is on the role of the laity in evangelizing, a world like ours that has in such large measure lost his faith in Jesus Christ. Read one canon after another in canon law. The rights and responsibilities of the laity to preserve and extend the kingdom of Christ. Thousands, tens of thousands, Pentecostals, Jehovah's Witnesses, you name them, are flooding the world with missionaries. One of his great hopes is to rouse the laity to missionary zeal and bringing back in so many places a world estranged from Christ back to the Savior. On the occasion when I've had the privilege of concelebrating a private Mass with the Holy Father, all I knew that I was next to a man who is very holy but is also suffering very deeply. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our present Holy Father and ask you to give him the light and strength he needs and we need through him to remain firm to Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary, in a secularized world today. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.